good afternoon. You're listening to Local Motion on KVNF. I'm Allie Lightfoot. Local Motion is KVNF's weekly program that focuses on local arts, public affairs, and news. We highlight people, ideas, and projects in our area that are innovative and moving us forward. This program on KVNF is supported by the Rotary Club of Paonia, geared to service in the local community. The Rotary Club provides college scholarships to our area youth to help them reach their educational goals. More information available at 527-4585. KVNF receives support from listeners and from Enfria Wazirk Conservation Center, a grassroots organization dedicated to protecting rivers, public lands, and quality of life in Delta County since 1977. The Conservation Center welcomes new members and may be contacted at 527-5307 and theconservationcenter.org. Today on Local Motion, we're going to be talking about IC Change. You've probably been hearing a lot about it on KVNF. IC Change is a crowdsourced reporting project that draws on community observations about seasonal shifts in the weather. Produced by Julia Kumari Drabkin, IC Change hosts conversations between citizens and leading scientists about environmental change in Western Colorado. Today, we're speaking with producer Julia Kumari Drabkin and KVNF Executive Director Sally Kane about the project and new initiatives in media that encourage citizen journalism and use new technologies to get public input. Today, we're going to find out how the IC Change project is going so far, what questions Western Colorado citizens are asking, who the scientists are that are finding the answers, and how you can be involved. Call to share your thoughts and questions today. The number is 970-527-4868. Welcome, Julia and Sally.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Sally.
So the project IC Change really experiments with a reversal of roles, with citizens asking the questions of scientists and not reporters. And the citizens are sort of serving as researchers to some extent as well. So you can ask a question about a change that you're seeing in your environment out there, and Julia will find a scientist to answer the question. How did you conceive of this project, Julia?
Well, it draws on from my experience as a science reporter since 2007. I was a radio reporter at PRI's The World in Boston and then in D.C. And just always people want to know how their experience fits in the larger picture. And people are having these conversations all the time at the table with their family, with their neighbors, like, is it me or is my tomatoes growing? Are my tomatoes growing funny? Or is it me or is something a little off? And scientists and journalists both don't answer those questions. They feel uncomfortable. And the reason why they feel uncomfortable is trying to draw specifics from, you know, the local community experience from, you know, global trends. And so because we've been unable to, like, bridge that divide between, you know, what's happening globally and what's happening locally, we haven't been having really good conversations about how to make decisions about our changing environment. So I thought, okay, how do we flip this around? Traditionally, as a reporter, a scientist actually will start with the observation and ask the question, and then I'll do a story on their paper that they publish. And then if I have time, I'll go and find a local anecdote in the community. So why don't we flip this around? Why don't the community, you know, have, you know, they're making observations and asking questions all the time. Let's start there. Let them be the scientists about what's going on in their neighborhoods and communities. And then we can also talk about the decisions that people are having to make. And it's been a much more interesting process. You've been hearing the stories on the radio. And since I've been here, it's just blown away about what we've been seeing, the conversations that we've been having, and it's evolving too. So what you're hearing on the radio are just those conversations, but what we're trying to produce online has stemmed from just this unusual year that we've been having. We're seeing that scientists and the community have a lot in common. Mm-hmm. They're interested in lots of the same things. So, for example, a scientist who's studying the beginning of spring is looking at lilacs blooming. Well, a farmer here will look at lilacs blooming, Scott Horner at Small Potatoes Farm, and he will decide to plant his potatoes. So the community is not only seeing change, they're making decisions based on their observations. So, you know, how do we bring, this information together into a single place where we can all learn from that? Mm-hmm. And we were thinking, wow, you know, a 21st century farmer's almanac where we bring scientists in, we bring data in, and we bring community stories, comments, advice, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Farmers' almanacs are really, really interesting. They are not boring science. They're not gloom and doomsday books. They're community knowledge. They're pooled community knowledge. And if we can look back on a year of documenting seasonal and environmental change, you know, we'll be able to learn from that experience, and generations will be able to learn from that too. So we're looking for, you know, the community to help us design that, to contribute to that, stories, photos, thoughts, advice. And we want to create something that the community will really use, that they can't find elsewhere. And it's an incredible journey so far. The project has a life of its own.
Yeah, it does. And what a year to be doing it. There's just so much going on. So Sally, I wanted to ask you why you felt like a project like IC Change would be good for KVNF and for the community, and particularly, why do you feel this topic is important for this community? What aspect of the experimental nature of this whole thing is useful to us, you think? Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, I'm thinking about the lilacs, because I was asking my sister when to plant peas, and she said, oh, you plant peas when the leaves on the lilacs are the size of a mouse's ear.
That's a great line. I love that.
And I've always kind of thought, oh, okay. Well, that settles it. Why IC Change and KVNF? First of all, I think this is a highly creative, innovative project, not just for KVNF, but for the public broadcasting system as a whole. And when I looked at the RFP and what was up, I saw an opportunity to bring independent producer into our station environment. And I really think there's a need for those two groups of people to connect more concretely. There's just a massive amount of stuff being produced out there on the and parked at sharing spots on the web and whatever other ways those pieces get moved across and through the system. But there's, by nature of being an independent producer, I think there's a lot more willingness and openness to take risks, because you have to do that to find the arc of the narrative, to get to the nugget in the story. You know, it's what you have to do. In station environments, taking risks involves a whole other set of considerations. And so it seems to be a more risk-averse environment. And conversely, I think with independent producers, there becomes sort of a bubble of, I'm so into my story, what's the matter with you? You don't have an hour to air it every week, you know, which is just completely clueless about mm-hmm. what, you know, we're dealing with from the station side of things. So I thought, isn't this wonderful at a time of radical transformative change in the media landscape, that we could extend ourselves to a talented independent producer and come together around a topic that I believe is the most critical conversation that people on the planet can be having at this moment. And I don't really care what people think about where something it might come from, science. Mm. I don't really care. I think that we are really looking at adaptation, and people are already moving towards adaptation, because, you know, we wake up in the morning, we're still breathing, we want to live. And so we want to find ways to be in our environment. And I really resonated with Julia and where she was coming from about that. And I thought, let's look at this through seasonal change in a really ag-centered region and a rural service network community radio station, and see what we can come up with.
Yeah. Well, speaking of you know, covering seasonal change, like this year has just, I don't know. I don't know if it's just because you came here, Julia, that
she brought the drought.
No, the aliens who are playing the video game that is my life. No, this has been building. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, we've had record heat here. Obviously, we've had almost no rain. We've had wildfires across the state. We've definitely seen change in our state. In fact, not just in Colorado, we're seeing change across the whole country. There's been record high temperatures all over the country. Researchers at the University of California in Berkeley, in collaboration with an international team of scientists, recently put out a finding from research that they did on wildfires, which they do believe are being caused by climate change. Their research shows that we may experience a global disruption of wildfire patterns over the next 30 years. Their study used 16 different climate change models and generated what researchers described as one of the most comprehensive studies of the impact of climate change on global fire patterns. The current trend towards higher temperatures and less precipitation in the western states of the U.S. and most of Europe leads to increasingly abundant dry vegetation, which fuels wildfires. Conversely, they found that wildfire activity will decrease in equatorial areas such as rainforests because of increased rainfall in those regions. Julia, I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about climate change for a minute. The IC Change Project, as Sally was saying, it doesn't really set out to prove that climate change is happening, but instead it seems to focus more on why it's happening and how we adapt to it. So why did you choose to take that approach with the project?
I chose that approach because I think what we've been doing hasn't been getting us anywhere in terms of we've been arguing about the cause. And really, it's a really big idea. Firstly, to wrap your mind around and how you fit and how you can make a difference and whether or not, you believe in climate change or not. Let's frame this in terms of what is in fact happening to you right now. I actually would invite people who don't believe in climate change to participate in the project, let's just talk about, what is happening in your life so that we can move forward and start making the critical decisions. Let's say this year, which has been quite an incredible year, even for scientists, they say things like, we've never seen this before. They're using language that they have never used before. But let's say, this is not climate change. Well, according to the models, according to predictions, what we're experiencing this year is as close to climate change now. What is happening now can be, what we think of as unusual will be the norm in 50 years. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that 95% of the science community is wrong. But let's just look at this year and see how it's changing us and go from there and try and make better decisions and get away from, like, it's your fault or it's a cause like this or whatnot, because it's really not getting us anywhere. Mm. And we're also, we're focusing on seasonal change and environmental change. Because we celebrate it. It's the fabric that runs through our lives. Like it's what causes us to celebrate cherry days, and it's what causes us to go out and have fun with our kids in the pool. I mean, seasonal and environmental change determines our culture, our cultural identity, and it's changing us all the time. And so let's start having these great conversations, celebrating the changes that we're experiencing, but also, taking a hard look at how we're going to have to make better management decisions, whether it's my house, my farm, my garden, my community.
Right. So it's not just about talking about the scary parts of change, but talking about the good things too that happen from change.
Yeah. One of the first questions that we fielded when I was still living in DC was, local cherries. We haven't had any for the last few years at our local Cherry Days Festival. And I didn't even know what Cherry Days was about then. So we asked, an incredible scientist about that. And he said, well, maybe the community is going to have to consider a Pear Day Festival. That's a big hit. That's a terrible idea. But you know what? The fruit came through this, the freezes and with the weather in ways that were completely amazing. And so, Colorado, Western Colorado, the North Fork Valley could do really well. We just don't know. Every year is a different year, according to a farmer. If that's the case, let's just, make sure that we're keeping track of what's happening and go from there. Great. I'm excited about Cherry Days. I don't know about you.
Well, in a moment, we're going to talk about how you can be involved in this project. But before we do that, we're also going to hear some questions that Julia's been getting from people in Western Colorado. We'll play a little clip of that in a few minutes. But first of all, I wanted to talk to both of you about crowdsourcing and citizen journalism. Most news and media outlets now have a place for public reporting of some kind. CNN and many other mainstream news networks ask for photos, video, and audio eyewitness reports. On CNN, they call them eye reports. I noticed the Daily Camera in Boulder now has a virtual editorial board where the paper posts the topic of an upcoming editorial online to solicit thoughts and opinions from the readers before they write their editorial. And then I read about a documentary film called Syria's Torture Machine, produced for Channel 4 in England, that drew on about 30,000 clips uploaded on various social network sites, including trophy videos from Syrian military tortures and footage from families and citizens that were caught up in the demonstrations. And, an example like that, it part of the thing is that journalists can't get into those places. So we've actually started using social media in that way. It's an extraordinary resource to draw on for material and eyewitness reports. Can you just sort of explain what crowdsourcing is? Because it's a word that's thrown around public media a lot, but not everyone knows what it is. And then also I wanted to ask both of you, why do you think there's such a big push for this kind of journalism right now?
Well, at its most basic level, the idea is this, like more heads are better than one, more eyes are going to be able to see more. And the technology has arisen such that that is possible. Not only the World Wide Web, but, you know, just cell phones are like miniature computers, and you can record audio, you can take pictures, you can react to your environment quite quickly. And it's an incredibly exciting time to be a journalist in that regard. It's also a really exciting time to be a scientist in that regard, because you're getting closer to what's actually happening. I used to believe that true objectivity was impossible. But when you, like, for example, during 9/11, they put together a book of pictures of professional photographers and amateur photographers. And the variation of imagery that you see of one single event really truly painted a picture in 360 degrees in true objectivity. Everyone has different experiences. And when you put them all together, you can kind of start to understand the bigger picture. So that's what's really, really exciting here. But translating all of that into that data, if you will, into information is the tough part. And that's, there's still, you know, a place for that, whether it's a scientist or a journalist or, you know, someone who's analyzing that. You still need that function. But we're learning more about ourselves and our changing environment in ways that we never knew was possible before. And so it's really exciting. Scientists are starting to even do that with citizen science. I think the problem with CNN and the iReporting kind of technology and pushes are that it's very extractive. Even on the science, you know, end is like, we'll take your information and we'll analyze it and we'll make it, you know, useful and for us. But there's no give back. And so what we're trying to do with IC Change is to create a community pool of information, a community produced documentary that will be useful to the community. Mm. I think that's really, really important, and it's something that's overlooked by people like me in journalism and scientists as well, is that, you know, there needs to be a give back. Mm.
Sally, did you?
Well, I guess I would say what I'm trying to do at KVNF and with this project with Julia is embrace the change that's happening in the media landscape and in our worlds around us. And what I would say with regard to citizen journalism, you sent some interesting articles, Allie, from the Knight Foundation website. But I just believe that people really have something to say about what's right in front of their faces.
Yeah.
And I think that mainstream media has failed the people across the planet by consolidating ownership, by turning headline news into pablum sound bites, and all in the name of demand. But, you know, that's a slippery slope. Mm-hmm. And as soon as the way you define demand becomes what you supply, and that definition is stupider and stupider and stupider, then that's what you get. And I think that that's part of the thirst that people have, is like, this is happening in my life, and I'm going to take a video tube of it, a clip of it, and put it on the internet, you know? Mm-hmm. And I also, at the same time, think that citizen journalism and professional journalism are two very different things, and we need them both. Because mm-hmm. I don't know about anybody else out there, but I went all through school with people who went on to become journalists, and they didn't have the same skills as I did, and I didn't have the same skills they did. They are the people who will fact check. They are the people who will research, because they're curious and they want to know. And I can tell you for a fact, that's not me. So mm-hmm. I can take all the video tube I want and blog away till the cows come home, but I need professional journalists. Right. I want to read what they have to say. So that's kind of what I, and you know, digital's just breaking loose in the studio. Even it's great. It's the new black, you know. And I mean, you can be super scared of it, but You could also just like put on a black dress and go out there and say, okay, this is what it is, and not lose ourselves at the table and say, we're journalists and we're community-based media. And community media has a ton of things going on that we're having to rise to. But name me someone who isn't rising to something right now. Mm-hmm. And name me someone who isn't experiencing change. And that's why I refuse to not have this conversation. Right. It might be a little touchy around climate, but the nut of it is, how do we as human beings experience change and how do we adapt? And we need that conversation. We have always needed that conversation.
Yeah. And going back to what you were saying about curiosity, I think that curiosity is what drives good journalism and good science. I think it happens in different levels. And people, though, in general, are curious. Mm-hmm. And that we are trying to tap into their and everybody's curiosity in different degrees with this project. I mean, we all are curious about specific things that keep us, in a state of wonder, or, you know, the things that are changing in my backyard. And we're tapping into that curiosity. But journalists do have this kind of insatiable curiosity that kind of, you know, drives them to find that end right. answer. So bringing those two communities together is a really powerful, powerful thing. And again, it's producing things that we've never seen before and things that we can't even imagine yet. So it's really exciting to be doing that here in Paonia in the North Fork Valley at KVNF with Sally's support.
It is. It's exciting. Sure. Well, let's hear some of the questions that we're getting, if we could. You've been here how long now, Julia?
I came in April, so it's been a All busy right. season. I've been trying to keep up with the farmers and the ranchers and the weather.
All right. Well, I think Jeff has it queued up. Go ahead, Jeff.
What would you ask a scientist?
Good question. What would I ask a scientist? Well,
when it's this hot, I worry about how long our water reserves are going to hang in there.
Ask if it's possible to have a wildfire in Colorado in virtually any month.
How the life of the soil cooperates together to support plant life.
Does it look like water is coming for, say, mid-July?
Yeah, why didn't it snow this winter?
What would be the percentage of balance you need to maintain a healthy balance for all fish?
Well, let's talk about the throwing out two swarms at a time thing.
Why are our seasons changing so much? Every year is different, so much different.
There used to be these lizards called horny toads everywhere. 2 years ago, you could just walk outside and see them run around. Why couldn't you see them, and why aren't they, like, there? I've looked my hardest, so.
That's right. Julia, what happened to the horny toads? We want to know.
Well, it's very awkward to ask a scientist something like, are you an expert in horny toads? But we are, in fact, investigating that question as well as a few others. And we're accepting a few new ones, actually. People have been seeing lightning bugs recently and around town, and people want to know about that. And, of course, we're going to be following up on all sorts of summer stories, so stay tuned on that.
That's right, and you're tuned into Local Motion on KVNF. I'm your host, Allie Lightfoot, and we're speaking with IC Change producer Julia Kumari-Drapkin and KVNF executive director Sally Kane about the project and some new initiatives in media that encourage citizen journalism and the use of new technologies to get public input. You can call us and ask us a question right now if you'd like, or comment, but you only have a few minutes to do that. The number's 527-4868. Julie, I want to ask you how people can be engaged in this project and more involved. And I know you have a website that's being developed and all kinds of things happening. So
yeah, this is a public media experiment, and we're trying to figure out the best ways for people to tell us what they're interested in knowing. But what we're really focused on right now is we're developing the website, and we want to make sure that we are creating something that would be of use to residents in the North Fork Valley. You know, this is something that we need your help with. We need to know what would be useful to you. So, you know, you can reach us. Right now we have a Facebook page that is serving as our sketchbook, if you will, for what will be a fully developed website, a 21st Century Farmers Almanac. We'll also want to try and do a few meetings to bring people in to talk to us about how best to design that site. So in addition to Facebook, you can text us with your cell phone. You can text the message ISEE, that's I-S-E-E, to the number 877-877. That's I-S-E-E to 877-877. And using your cell phone allows us to, like, it allows you to just report in as you see something right then and there. It's that immediacy of an observation and a question. And then we're going to be around on Cherry Days. We're setting up a table in front of KVNF, and we're going to be talking to people about what they're seeing change, the good things that they see change and the bad things that they see change, and we'd love to interview people. So we're going to be doing that on Friday from 10 to 6. And also I'll be walking around town with a microphone, so if you see me, you know, I'll be the one with the microphone. Also going to be at the Heart and Soul tent on Saturday and with the North Fork Creative Coalition and their incredible mural project that we're going to be working on. So we'll be looking forward to talking to people in the next few days. But I See Change is very active on Facebook, so we really encourage you guys to find us. That's www.facebook.com/ICChange.
I also want to encourage people to be involved because it takes local issues and things that are happening here to sort of a national spotlight. And Julie is talking to scientists that are, I mean, you tell people about some of the scientists you've been talking to.
Well, they are pretty amazing people who've been studying global climate change. We just interviewed a Nobel Prize winning scientist in the last story about hay farming in Crawford. And they're working at some of the greatest, you know, research institutions in the country. And globally, we interviewed a fruit scientist in Kenya. But, you know, the truth is we want to create a conversation on evil and an even playing field. Citizens have just as valid of observations and questions as scientists. And so we really want to create, like, a place where, you know, anyone can talk to them and they can talk to you and everyone's on the same foot.
And Sally?
Just a quick thing that I wanted to say to KVNF listeners is that Julia's project is bringing long-term legacy type of gifts to KVNF. So you, as a member and supporter of community radio, are getting things out of this that will last for a long time. Really, like having our operation be much more sophisticated about people's mobile phone use and the fact that radio goes with you wherever you go now, grabbing national attention to our fine little community radio station, creating podcasts, localizing regional and national stories. This is all ground that Julia is truly helping us break. And those are some of the main really beneficial things for the long haul that I see coming to KVNF, and I'm super happy to have this happening.
And Sally, just real quickly, what are some of the other changes that you're seeing in public media? I know you've been to the Rocky Mountain Community Radio conferences, Corporation of Public Broadcasting, National Federation of Community Broadcasters.
Well, in a nutshell, and this project is helping us kind of figure this out and find a new way forward. But it's all about the local news and creating locally relevant content. Status quo funding will not continue in public broadcasting. Our business model has to change. The digital age has radically altered public media. We have to embrace it and learn how to work with it. We have to develop capacity for local news throughout the system. We have pretty good capacity for national and international, and it's pretty pathetic for local. We need wider use by the general public. We need deeper value placed on this service, and we need to have greater impact in the communities we serve. So there are tall orders, but basically in general, we're moving away from community radio and toward community media, and that's just what's happening.
Well, thank you both. I've been speaking with Sally Kane and Julia Kumari Drabkin. We've been talking about IC Change and about citizen journalism here at KVNF. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to us on KVNF 90.9 in Paonia, KVMT 89.1 in Montrose, and on the web at kvnf.org. Stay tuned for All Things Considered coming up.